I tell you, I've wrestled with this. I've wrestled with this. I don't know why. I've never wrestled over a series ever in 30 years preaching. But I wrestled over this series for some reason. And I think the reason is it because there's expectation here. How many know faith is in the house? I believe God is going to speak to us in the next 4 weeks and throughout the series. I pray we can clear some of the falsehoods that have come through the story of Noah. Hollywood's version did not help. Can I tell you, we are not Hollywood. This is a holy word. Amen? This is a holy word, not Hollywood. And Hollywood almost had Noah to blame, you know, as if God was the bad person and Noah was the good person. And, you know, in the movie. Hope you didn't see it. No, I hope you saw it but didn't like it. Or whatever the case might be. Hollywood missed it on a few accounts. It is Hollywood. I said it is Hollywood. And so don't forget when the movies are made that there is a portion of Hollywood. And they call it, there's some drama terminology that allows them to go away from the text to show that what might have, could have happened. You know, I forget the technical term in drama, in movie making. But they've gone so far from the text, it's absurd. I said in this story, in the Noah movie, they have gone so far from the text that it is not even truth. Then it becomes a lie and misleads people and confuses people. So that's not the reason I did the series, but I just want you to know, when you take in a movie, you have to, you know, it's not like reading the Bible. All right. But I want us in the next 4 weeks to learn about the justice and the mercy of God. God is going to speak, and we're going to learn about who He is, His nature, His character, what He's all about. And listen, we're not very far into the Bible. We're Genesis chapter 6, people. I mean, Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Five chapters later, from perfection in the garden to perversion in the world. Five chapters before we go from perfection, Max, to perversion. Such perversion, God's not even pleased. And He's ready to destroy the whole thing. And so I really want us to look at this. What in the world happened in five chapters? And man began to multiply. You see how many billions of people? I mean, you know, it happens. Can I tell you, back in the 30s, we only had a couple of billion people in America. By the 50s, we had 4 billion. By now, we have, 7 billion almost people. I mean, it happens. Multiply and replenish, and that's what they were doing it. And then Seth and Cain, the boys from Adam and Eve, Seth had a line, Cain had a line, because he already murdered his brother Abel. Before you can get out of Genesis, you know, into Genesis 5, you already had murder. You already had murder. Let me tell you why I believe. Because I believe Satan thought that in Genesis chapter 3, whenever it said that the woman's seed would bruise Satan's serpent's head, I think Satan overheard the conversation and thought that I'm going to destroy the seed of this woman because he's going to destroy my head. So he went after Cain and Abel. But Abel had a sacrifice that showed the blood. I mean, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So he went after Abel and Cain. Cain killed his brother Abel because he had a sacrifice. He was jealous because he had a sacrifice. Wasn't worthy of God because he didn't have any slaying of any blood. No blood, right? Potatoes and beans are not going to get it. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There must be a lamb. There must be a sacrifice, right? So Satan said, I'm going to get Cain, right? And if I can kill Cain, put a mark on him, then there won't be anyone to destroy me. But Satan is so ignorant. Because how many know that was a portrayal of a forward occasion that was not Cain and it wasn't Abel. How many know it's Jesus? Jesus from the beginning all the way to the end. And I want you to see Jesus in Noah's account. I want you to see that because it's real. There's quite a lot of typology here and I want you to see it. So we don't get too far off the text. I just wanted you to see that the daughters of men married the sons of God. So that could be a lot of interpretations in theology. Some say that the sons of of God were fallen angels that married to the women on earth and became, and Nephilim came out of them, or giants, or these beings came out of that. That's one theory. There's another, that Seth was the pure line, right? And Cain was the impure line. And so God, they began to mix and marry and became every, before long, everything was contaminated and polluted and everything was evil. In fact, it goes on to say every intent of man's heart was evil all the time. It's a pretty perverted generation. But it's not far off from where we are today. So in case you think Uncle Noah just was a good man because it was easy to be a Christian in his day, this was the most evil time in all of mankind. Wickedness was all over the world. But God saw one man. One man. And he made a difference. So let's read the text and then we'll see if we can't depart from it. All right, Genesis 6:1-18. Are you there? Say amen. Let me get in my Bible so I don't have to worry about it. Can you flip that for me up there? Who's my runner? Wave at me. See, God likes a little action. Okay, Joseph, stay with me. Okay, we're going to go from 1 to 18. I'm going to read my Bible and you can read whatever you want. Okay. It's kind of like in Dominican Republic. I preached and the interpreter said whatever they wanted to say. I was hoping that they said what I said, but you never know. Let's look at this. Chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. When the man began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not always contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. I want to explain the theory I was mentioning to you about demons, you know, like the fallen angels marrying earthly women. That was demonic. That demonic fallen angel made a race without morality. It's so evil. You understand? So evil. So that is one theory. But I don't want to preach it as if it is the only. I want you to just think about that, how evil it could be and how wicked it could come upon on mankind. But either way, when you intermarry into ungodly, somebody needs to hear the preacher. When you marry somebody, you best make sure they marry in the Lord. Because you can get into a place where no generation later, nobody's serving the Lord. And so it could be that too. So I just wanted to throw that out. Might do a little teaching today while I preach because I like to preach. But every little bit of preaching has a little bit of teaching. I've got to learn something here. My spirit will not always contend with you. And then he said, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. Now some people believe that the 120 years is how long man would live. But I want you to understand that it took 120 years to build this boat. So God could have been saying, from this point till 120 years, there will be no more life. You've got 120 years to get it right. You have made a wicked choices and you have blended with immorality, whether it's demon angels, fallen angels, or whether it's Cain's descendants. You have mixed it up, corrupted it, and now it's impure and I'm going to clean it out. You got 120 years. Boom. Just saying. Some of you only have about 20 minutes. The Nephilim, in verse 4, were on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God went to their daughters of men and had children by them. You see that? They were the heroes of old, men of renown, giants. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil all the time. What a heart. What a grief. Look at this, verse 6. The Lord was grieved. Could you say that? Say it with me one more time. If you don't get anything else out of this, that's what I want you to catch. The grief of God. We're not going to go there. I'm going to get there in a minute. But the Lord was grieved. He was grieved that he had made man on the earth and his heart was filled with pain. We can make God's heart grief. So the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. Would you say verse 8 with me? I just want you to. But Noah found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, one more time, because this is going to be, I don't want to get so depressive in this message that we can't shout. Say it with me. But Noah found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. I can't wait to get to that point. And just bear with me because we're going to shout in a little bit. All right? And so, this is the account of Noah, verse 9. He was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Eggs. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So he's going to destroy the creation that he created and the apex of his creation, mankind. So I make for yourself an ark of cypress wood or gopher wood. Down in Louisiana, we love cypress wood. You see it everywhere. It's the wood that floats, right? Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. It's no pirogue. It's a big boat. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. Three decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on the earth will perish. Everything on the earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. I want to stop right there. Because we got 4 weeks to talk about this. But I want you to see, first of all, how God embraces Noah. He's grieved. He's grieved over the world's conditions. And so Noah's faith, he's the man. And through faith and obedience, he embraces a love for God that obeyed his commands. But to really understand Noah's journey, we need to see the culture that he lived in. And this is the problem. This is the problem. God always sees a problem and wants to solve it. And when God wants to bless people, he uses other people. Did you know that when Satan wants to hurt people, he uses other people? Either way, people are involved in this process. And so we need to see this problem. And the first thing is God's grief. It's God's grief. I think that's up on the screen there, brother. If it is, go for it. Wake up. Smell the roses. There we go. I love you, big guy. Stay with the pastor. Number one, God's grief. God's grief. It's not a shouting part of this sermon. It's really not. And I don't know if you've ever seen or understood the grief of God. But when Jesus was on the cross, the heart of God was grieved. Because like God is viewing the world and its sin, and needs to bring judgment, because God doesn't play with sin. Sin separates man from God. So God's got to bring judgment against sin. So he raises up a man. In the case of our salvation, it's Jesus. Can somebody say, thank God for Jesus? It's Jesus. But when Jesus was on the cross, the heart of God was grieved because the wrath of God had to be poured out upon man. But Jesus, the Son of God, took the wrath of God for men. And when he was on the cross, he turns his head because he can't face and fathom that his own Son would take on the sins of the world. Now, you know that sin, we say that all the time. Jesus took on the sins of the world. But do you understand? He took on bestiality and homosexuality. Do you understand? He took on filth and rottenness and drunkenness. He took on perversion of his worst kind. He took on lying and thieving and stealing and rottenness. He just took on the depravity of man. Every wicked thought, everything ever done, Jesus took it upon himself. And the Lord's wrath was poured out upon him. On him. He was our ark of safety. You and I get into heaven, get into the kingdom because of Jesus. Is anybody happy about that? That is the story in the New Testament that's being told in the Old Testament. And this is the grief of God. What I see in the text is what happens when a culture loses sight of its creator. It wasn't very long from Genesis 3 and 4 to Genesis 5 and 6. It's not a whole lot of time. Enoch walked with God. This is the father, grandfather, right, of Noah? Walked with God in a very wicked and perverted generation. And yet Enoch was so close to God, he was raptured. How many believe we could get raptured out of this old wicked culture here? If old brother Enoch could do it, we could do it too. And hey, guess what? It could be any moment now. It may be just ripe for the getting right now. Anybody ready for the rapture? If not, the altar will be just a few minutes and you can get your heart right. And you can go when we go. Or you can stay in the tribulation. Hope you make it. But here's the deal. What happens when the culture loses sight of God is that they begin to be dark. And they destroy themselves. They intermingled and contaminated what God originally planned to create an environment so filthy, so wicked, so perverted that it grieved the heart of God. Now listen, the word he uses is not anger. Because many people look at God and say, why would a loving God just destroy the whole world by a flood? And that's not what's happening here. The world's destroying itself and God's about to recreate it. So God is grieved, and he's grieved that he made this situation, he made man, and that they chose this situation. It's not like man is not to blame. Man is to blame. God is the Savior and the Deliverer. Man is the one that became corrupted by their own choices and by their own fault. So the problem was that mankind had become corrupt to the point of self-destruction. The prognosis is, here in our text, all flesh had become so evil in God's sight that all flesh had to come to an end. But the pain was in Genesis, records not the anger of God, but the grief of God over the fallen state of humanity. Hey, listen, I know you love the lost. How many here love the lost? They love people. We hate sin, but we love sinners. Hey, Oak Grove, where are you this morning? We hate sin, but we love sinners. Because they are people just like you and me. And if it weren't for the grace of God, you and I would be in the flood. Facing the judgment. Outside of the ark of safety. And corrupt and morally mixed up with a lot of confusion and a lot of stuff. There's a lot of dysfunction in America. A lot of homes are confused. A lot of marriages, a lot of children are confused. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They don't even know their own identity. But if you look at the first part of chapter 6 of Genesis, you can look at the first part of Romans 1, and you see the same thing. And God has given them up to their own filthy lust, and they don't even know anymore who they are. He almost like turns them over to reprobate thinking. They're so far gone that God's heart is grieved. That they came to this place. And it's painful. The Lord grieved that he made man. His heart was filled with pain and he felt the loss. He felt the separation. It's the same feeling he did whenever Jesus said, sin separates. Sin separates. So when the wrath of God, the sin came on the world on Jesus, it's the first time that the Holy Trinity was separated. Man, that's hard. But that, if you would think about that, every time before you get involved in sin, you might live a holy life. I'm just going to say it again. If you would think about the heart of God and how much it grieves him to separate from you, you wouldn't get involved in willful disobedience and sin. So the devil made me do it. No. Sin, when it's fully mature, brings forth death. And he'll let your lust go until you just succumb to your own lust and be drawn away, separated from the presence of God. And then once you get out of the presence of God, there's no telling what you could do. Man left to himself was self-destruct. It's pretty bad. But the Lord is grieving. And so verse 13 and 17, he's grieving his most precious creation, and that's mankind. We see his determination to destroy not only human life, but all of life. It's not like he said, I'm going to destroy man and everything else can live. Because man has a divine order. He has a commission. He's been commanded by God to rule and to reign over all of creation. You see that? That's the plan of God. Hey, okay, Adam, you are in charge. I'm leaving you in charge of the earth. You name the animals. You give a dominion over the animals and everything that creeps along the ground. So if man is corrupt, he's so corrupt. I want you to see how corrupt they are here. Man has become so corrupt that everything he touches is corrupt. All of life is corrupt. Polluted, as if you would put a contaminant in the fresh water. Now everything is. So God's going to do a redo. And so every living creature was going to die in the flood except those protected in the ark. So man was so depraved that it affected every living thing on the earth. That's pretty wicked. And listen, if we don't do something, have a revival in America, how many know it's going to affect all the nations of the world? It's by America. Listen, this is not an arrogant statement. It's by the goodness of God upon America that we were helped to establish the nations of the world with the gospel. Right? And so if America becomes so depraved, a lot of countries want to be like America. And so if we're depraved, that deprivation just goes and maturation, it just kind of pollutes everything. The whole world's polluted. It matters how you live. And we hear a lot about Noah and how he was a man of faith. But he saved not only himself, he saved his family. His wife, his kids, his son-in-law, everybody was saved. How many know what happened in Noah happened to everybody around Noah? He was a man of God. He walked with God. And so everything man came into contact with was contaminated by sin. The sin of man had polluted it all until all hope was gone. It was crooked and perverted, the whole generation. And they were evil, continually thinking about evil. I happen to think it must be that fallen angel kind of demonic thing in there. That wasn't happy until everything was consumed. Satan's not happy until you're dead. And so they were wicked, wicked, wicked. But God. Could somebody say, but God? Hey, I just want to get to the positive side of this message. I couldn't hardly wait. I've had enough. How many know the world was wicked, but God? God has a plan. Can you say amen to that? I need somebody to help me. The world was wicked and perverted and deservingly of wrath of God, but God had a man, and God had a preacher, and God had a plan, and God had a promise, and he was going to restore and bring back everything the enemy had taken. God's going to do it all over again. Would somebody give the Lord praise in here? God had a plan to use his creation. Listen to this. When God created everything in 6 days, seventh day he rested, he never created something after that. God rested, you understand. When God rests, that's it. In French, ça c'est fini. It's over. It is finished. How many know when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Nothing else. And he rested. And he's resting now. And God, after 6 days of creating everything, sat down and rested. And since that time, never again did God create something out of nothing. From then on, he created everything that was created out of something he already created. Adam, look lonely. Everything God created, Max, he said it was good. Somebody say it's good. It's good. Only one thing, the first thing God said was not good. It was not good for man to be alone. He knew how helpless we were. Ladies, God knew how helpless we were long before you did. And he created woe man. Man with a womb to reproduce and multiply. He had a plan. But he didn't get her from the dirt of the ground. He took her from out of Adam's side. So he used what he had already created to create something else. Are you with me? So now everything God creates, he creates out of all. No use in reinventing the wheel. So he is about to recreate his creation that he destroys. God creates and recreates. So God found a man and gave him a plan. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So first we see the grief of God. And secondly, we see the grace of God. God's grace. Is anybody here happy for the grace of God? Now, my text said the grace and favors. The grace is unmerited favor. That's what grace is. It's unmerited. It's undeserved favor. So we say, would you do me a favor in America? We say it all the time. Would you do me a favor? And then we're waiting, so like, oh, maybe. Like, what is it you need? Right? We wait for the condition of the favor. If I can handle that, if I can afford that, if I feel like it, if I'm not inconvenienced, I might help you. Por favor. Please do me a favor. Do me a favor. Or, if I do you a favor, you got to do me a favor, right? So that's not favor. God's favor is unmerited. No strings attached. God saw a man named Noah. And he said, I need, he looked across the world and he saw a man willing to stand in the gap. And when others forgot God, Noah feared God. I mean, there's a big difference. Everybody else forgot about God. It was only just a couple of generations ago and they forgot already. Well, you know, it wasn't long after the resurrection that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. Oh, somebody needs to help me preach. Right there in the book of Acts, 5th chapter. They're already lying. Struck dead, by the way. We don't want to go back to Acts chapter 2, do we? I said, we don't want to talk about not paying your tithe. Let's see what would happen. No, let's go somewhere else. Let's go somewhere else. When others lived for themselves and what they could see, Noah was being warned about what he didn't and couldn't see. Warned of God. Of coming judgment. And God had not yet told him what it was be. The invisible God. He was in the miserable minority. Have you ever been in the miserable minority? Have you? I mean, when everybody's doing it. Pastor, everybody's doing it. All the people in America cohabitate. Wrong. I mean, no, not everybody in America is cohabitating. Only those who forgot God, those who fear God, still wait till they're married. No, we're not talking about living under somebody's roof. We're talking about the whole enchilada. Well, everybody's doing it. Well, my mom and daddy used to say, if everybody jumps off the bridge, you're going to jump off the bridge? I never did understand that. No, I'm not going to jump off the bridge. Noah lived for what he could not see. The invisible God. And a world that was wicked. But with God, 8 people became a majority. I love the story of Mother Teresa. She went to start an orphanage. And she told the diocese in New York and the people she met with, said, what do you need, Mother Teresa? She said, I want to start an orphanage. She said, well, how much money you got? She said, I've got 3 pennies. 3 pennies. And they laughed and the committee laughed at Mother Teresa. And she's short and bless her heart. She said, you may laugh. But with 3 pennies in God, I can build anything. I mean, with God, you're in the majority. 8 people out of the whole known world is about to be saved. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It was God that did the creating. And he was going to do the recreating, right? It will be God doing the judging. Noah didn't judge anybody. Noah just preached. Today, Pastor Ron's not here to judge anybody. I don't care how wicked you may have been, how wicked you think you might be. It's God that does the judging. How many know there's a day of reckoning coming? There's a day of reckoning coming. Noah just was a righteous man. He was living for God, walking with God, and he saw favor, and God gave him favor. It's just a part of God's plan. And he does all the talking. In the text, I don't see Noah talking. God tells Noah, Noah listens. Again, in 4 different speeches God gives from chapter 6 to chapter 9, Noah says nothing. Nothing. All it says about Noah is that he did all that the Lord commanded of him. I'm sure he was awestruck. I mean, you read the Bible your way. Okay? But I'm just looking into it. See, we're very far inland. Middle of the desert. Hello, Lord. We're not in the beach. We're not on the beach, Lord. It's not even like we can get a spray from the waves. There's no ocean nowhere nearby. They're in the middle of the desert. You're going to build a boat, Noah. Not a little tiny boat, Noah. No. And the boat is not for a cruise. I mean, no, this is not a cruise ship, Noah. It's not a cruise ship. You're not going in the Mesopotamia. You're not going in the Mediterranean. You're not going anywhere to cruise. You're going to build like a box, Noah, a box. It's going to be like 350 feet long. You, Noah. And it's going to be 45 feet high, three decks inside. Wide, it's going to be wide, Noah. It's going to be big. Nothing from Noah. Okay, Lord. Hey, Noah, make it out of gopher wood. Make it out of gopher wood. So, like, God, do you have, like, seeds that can plant the trees? Or are they already here, God? Have you ever thought about the story? Are the trees already there? Are the trees already there? I mean, let me just get a few tools here, see if we can work this out. Okay, it's not like an axe drop from the ceiling, from heaven. Here you go, Noah, get started. He didn't tell him how long it would take. He didn't tell him when the flood was coming. Noah, build a boat. Build a big boat. Flat bottom box, actually. Call it an ark. Make it out of cypress wood. It's just going to be a floating vessel, basically. And make compartments, because you're going to bring in like 2,500 animals of all kinds. And just you and your family, pretty much. But make a door on it and make a roof. The window was not on the side like you see. We wanted you to see that, but it was on the top. You read the text, right? And so it's not like Noah called Lowe's or Home Depot. Say, Ham, Japheth, Shem, I just talked to the Lord. Your dad? What'd he say? He said, we're going to be busy a long time. So I don't know if they had tools like this, okay? But trees, cypress trees, I reckon. That's what the some scholars say, it's cypress trees. Did they have something to cut with? Maybe so. But I mean, you know, when you have favor, God gives you God ideas. Oh, wait a minute. When you have favor of God, you can build a big old boat. And you can invent things like axes. An axe. I don't know if they started out with, you know, a rubber hose trying to cut down a tree or not. I mean, it would take longer than 120 years to cut down a tree with a rubber hose. Maybe a rock. Maybe a sharp rock. Maybe an axe. Maybe they had steel. Maybe they found some. I don't know how they did it. But Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Noah, and the three son-in-laws. How many know God gives son-in-laws? And so, they go to fighting. They go to working. Every day. 120 years. But while he worked with the tools, he also preached. The Bible says that Noah had a hammer in one hand and a Bible in the other. So while he's building the ark, right, he's working. I think the story of Noah is really one of faithfulness. And you may not be able to see the nail that I chose, but that's probably the nail he used right there. How many know it's a story? It's a story of wrath of God that was come upon one man. I mean, the judgment's coming. But there's a way out. Get in the ark. So I don't even know if he had nails. I don't know how he nailed it together. I don't know. But I do know that the Lord said, pitch it in and out. So you see the black here? That is what they call pitch or tar. It's really black paint that Terry and Rick painted the boat with. Oh, they did caulk. You guys did caulk it. Trying to get biblical on me over here. So they pitched it outside and they pitched it inside. The only other place for this word in the Old Testament is where Moses' mother, Jochebed, put him in the little basket and pitched it on the inside and the out. And that's the word ark. Okay, it's not like the Ark of the Covenant. It's the ark, a vessel for floating. And every day he worked on this. I'm sure those boys smelled like tar until eternity. That's a lot of tar. Where do you get the tar? Is there rubber somewhere? Is there a rubber tree? So I'm just reading this text and I'm like, what, Lord? But the favor of God, my point is, the favor of God will help you find the resources that cannot be got naturally to do something that's about to be supernatural. So when you don't have within yourself, you need the grace of God. And the grace of God came to Noah, gave him God ideas. Hey, boys, hey, we can do this. We can use this. We can do this. And let's put this up. We can use this tree. And we can build this. And first we build the base. And all the while, the world's looking. Every day. Every day. And he was a preacher of righteousness. A preacher. Can I just say something about prophetic speaking? That every day when you go to work in your place of work, you're building with one hand and you're preaching with the other. Your life is preaching, whether you can believe it or not. You're preaching righteous. You're walking with God. You're living for God. You're going to church. Your neighbors were looking at you this morning wondering, why do you go to church three times a week? Are y'all crazy? Well, they thought Noah was flipped. A little boy came into his daddy and said, Daddy, Daddy, I just talked to a man named Noah. He said that the flood was coming. A flood was coming. We need to all get in the ark. He's building the ark, Daddy, and we got to go in. His daddy said, son, settle down. Said, when I was your age, that old fool Noah was saying the same thing. He's just a fool. He's just an old preacher. They've been talking about judgment and floods for so long. You just go play outside. You don't worry about all that judgment stuff. He just wants to put you in a bind, take the joy out of your life. Can I tell you, Pastor Ron's not here to put you in a bind or take the joy out of your life. I'm here to get you in the ark. Come on, this church is here to get you in the ark of safety. How many know there is judgment coming? There is judgment coming. And it won't be by flood. We already know the promise. It's going to be by fire. It's going to be by fire. Missing the boat. But if you have the grace of God, God does all the talking. He does all the talking. In fact, not only does all the talking, he does all the gifting, all the creative juices, all the things, all the resources, everything, all the people. Now, I guess, you know, you can't build that boat by yourself, him and his boys. So I'm sure that Noah had to hire people in the world to help with the project. So now Noah is working alongside Brother Know-It-All and Sister Tell You Off. He's working right alongside of them. You know. Have you ever tried to build something for God with knuckleheads? You know, God didn't tell Noah. One thing he didn't tell Noah. He said, I'm going to put every animal on that ark. But he forgot to tell Noah to keep the woodpecker above the water line. How many know when you're building something for God, there's always a woodpecker in the bunch? And that's okay. God loves to fill the ark with all kinds. But the woodpecker, if you don't keep him above the waterline, you're going to sink the ship. I'm just telling you, proper people placement prevents problems. And God will give you wisdom. Wisdom on your job. Say, Pastor, this story is just crazy. It's so unbelievable. No, it's just a fable. I believe every bit of it. And I believe God's using it as a type of Christ to tell us how it's going to be in the end. And so Noah has one response throughout the whole account to do exactly what God commands. It's all about God and his sovereignty. Noah found God's eyes. And God knows Noah's heart. So he speaks to Noah. And he tells him to build this boat before he even mentions how he would destroy the earth. I just want to stop and say it's time. It's in a time when great wickedness prevails in our culture. We need to know how to build the ark in a wicked, dark world. We really do because one man stood out to God, and God's always looking for somebody to stand out. And so we may not get to, I think we'll get to the last point. Let me just make one more point on what favor of God is. Favor of God is what God can do for you that you cannot do for yourself. The grace of God is what God can do for you that you'll never be able to do on your own. And so favor comes on him, and it's favor that opens the door of opportunity for you. It's the favor of God. Last weekend, somebody spoke that favor of God is over this church. Somebody last weekend stood in this pulpit and said, favor of God is over your life. You know what that means? That means you're going to be able to accomplish things and do things that promotions might be coming your way that you couldn't earn on your own. That might be that God is placing you in positions that you didn't deserve. And pulling somebody else out of places they thought they deserved. God is sovereign, and sovereign God does whatever he wants to do. So the favor of God is in your corner. It will help turn opposition into support. His favor can help you get what you need. Somebody say, God, seal the deal. Seal the deal. Maybe you're involved in something today. You need the favor of God. Well, the favor of God comes with obedience. Faith and obedience. Now, listen, I've got to go this way because I got to hurry up. With God's guidance, you need both faith and works. And I had to go get these paddles to make this happen. So I'm sure he didn't row the boat. But since I have to show it this way, faith works. Now, here's what happens. If you only have faith and you're trying to row the boat, you're going to go in circles. Faith. I have faith. You sit there on the pew and have faith all you want to. You're going to go in circles. Can somebody help me preach this sermon here? You just go in circles. I got faith. Well, faith must put their shoes on and go to work. Noah didn't have to build. And if he wouldn't have built, there wouldn't have been no Abraham. If there's no Abraham, there would have been no Israel. If there's no Israel, there would have been no Jesus. Works. James said, faith and works. Works by itself, what happens? Circle you go. You can't get to heaven by your works. It takes it. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. It takes faith and works. It takes faith and works. It took faith for Noah to say, that's impossible. It's never rained. And I'm sure that grandpa told that grandson, don't worry about old Noah. He's just an old man. It hasn't rained in 100 years. He was telling me, have you seen any rain, son? Come on, be real, logically. He's got this massive boat. He's out of his mind. It's not even drizzled. There wasn't even a cloud in the sky. We're in the desert, buddy. Don't you go to school? Intellectually, you know, intellectually, we're smart people. It's not rained, therefore it's not going to rain. But God, how do you find the favor, Pastor? It's special. The short answer is a heart of obedience. No good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. I wish somebody would say amen to that. No good thing does God withhold to those who walk uprightly. And Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and this turned into God ideas, and favor made Noah just to be the biggest ark builder, ship builder. I want you to know that they make ships today based upon the same dimensions that Noah came forth with. You know why? It wasn't Noah's idea. It was God's idea. I mean, when God does something, he does it all the way. Giant, giant ships today. According to Jewish tradition, Noah invented the plow and the hoe, and the sickle, and a number of other tools used to cultivate the ground. If God knows that he'll get the glory, he will give favor to men and women who walk in obedience. If you will obey God, God will use you to do crazy things, big things. He will give you vision, to just give you creativity. He will give you speak the words and people can have life if you walk in obedience. So Noah responded and built the ark in a dark world. So we see the problem of wickedness. We see the pain of God's heart. We see the plan of God's guidance. And it was no small task. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, 3 decks. Covered it with pitch on the inside and on the outside. There's a whole lot there. That word, covered with pitch, it means covenant. It means covered. It means atonement. It's the same word used to cover our sins. I want you to understand, you're covered. He did it on the inside. Why do you have to do it on the outside? He did it on the outside to keep the outside from coming in. And he did it on the inside to keep the inside from going out. How many believe there's security in the Lord? How many believe when you get saved, you can stay saved? Now, we don't believe in unconditional, eternal security. But we do believe that when he gets you in and you pitch it on the in and on the out, you're in for the long haul. This whole sermon is about Noah staying with the program all the way to the end. Pitched it on the inside. Pitched it on the outside. Oh, man. Cut down the trees. Made planks. I don't know if you had one of them table saws. How in the world? And by the way, no power tools, no screwdrivers, no drills, and no rain. Somebody say no rain. No rain. I just want to ask you today, before we close, how long would you have chopped trees? 10 years? Cut planks? 20 more years? Hot? Hot, hot, hot. No rain. And if that's not enough, there's no rain and you're building this massive boat. And people are making fun of you. They're making fun of you. You're an idiot. You old fool. Why are you doing this, Noah? But I want you to know he had a good wife. You don't never hear anything about Noah's wife. Now, Job's wife? I'm going to talk to her when we get to heaven, but nothing from Noah's wife. Honey, here's some water. Here, baby. Everybody say, Noah, you a fool. You just crazy. Here, baby. You've been working so hard on this boat that God told you to build. Thank you, sweetheart. You don't think I'm crazy, do you? No, baby. I feel a breeze coming from off the ocean hours and hours away. No wonder it took 120 years to build it. What was God's plan? What was God's plan? More time for them to repent. Here, here, Noah, grow the trees. Grow the trees. It's going to be a while. And no one responded. No one responded. Have you ever preached and nobody respond? I have. It's a lonely world up here. I feel like Billy Graham said, would you come? Would you come from the balcony? Would you come? Would you come from the foyer? Would anybody please come? And no response. It turned into no response. In America, we want response. We want people to respond. So how do you build? People need to catch the vision for the future. They need to take on the spirit of Noah. Noah was 600 years old when he began. So in case you're old, say, I don't build boats at 80. He cuts down the trees. He collects all the materials. He hires the heathen. He has to deal with their situation and criticism. Can't believe Noah's making us build this stupid boat in his heat. I just want to tell you today, your ark is your season of faithfulness. That's what your ark is. Whatever God's asking you to do, stay with it. Just keep on building. If God asks you to raise children, raise them with all you've got. God tells you to pastor a church, pastor that church. If he tells you to preach the gospel, preach the gospel. And do not be worried about what everybody else says. His culture was wicked, yet he preached righteousness and lived and walked with God. Enoch walked with God until he was taken. And maybe that DNA from Grandpa moved into Noah, and maybe Noah kept himself pure. Maybe if it's demon, remember that demon thing I told you about, the fallen angels? Could it be that Noah and his family were the only ones not contaminated by that fallen angel stuff? And so when God sees Noah, the only one left that Satan hasn't duped and contaminated. Or if it's just genetics, didn't mix with the wrong line. It's long ark days of summer. Our culture is driven by convenience. As soon as it gets hard, we bail out. But the ark is a place where you're not stable. There was nothing stable about Noah building this ark. In fact, everybody thought he was unstable. El loco. You're crazy, Noah. You're crazy. Why don't you just do what everybody else is doing? Why don't you just go build an extra bathroom? Why don't you just go with the flow? Why don't you just embrace everybody and call them all Christian? Why don't you just let everybody go to heaven their way? I want you to understand one unique thing about the ark. There was only one door. Only one door. There's only one way in the ark and only one way out the ark. If you're going to get saved, one door. So while the world today, our culture, wicked, 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 is preaching you can get saved any kind of way. You go into heaven the same way. Get your ark and go. You get your ark and go. Everybody get it. You get an ark like Oprah. You get an ark and you get an ark and you get an ark. Oprah theology. And you think it may have some sign or hint, but he had none. No rain. No rain. No rain. He's building and no rain. He's building and nothing. He's building and no encouragement, except his wife and maybe his family. Not sure about that. Not even close. No sprays. No trickles. No drips. Nothing. But God calls you, chosen, favored, to build in the dark world. So, as Christy comes back in the team, I just want to ask you, how long before you quit? 10 years? 50? 100? 115? 119? 120 years later, God closed the door. God closed the door. We'll talk about that later. Next week, we're going to go in the ark. We're going to have a lot of fun next week. You know, there was a lot of commotion on the ocean. I just want you to know. There was a lot of commotion in that ark. I can't wait to talk about it. This was a heavy one and I'm about done with it. Be faithful. God will do what he said he would do. Just wait and work. Just work and wait. Just work. Just work. I'm building this thing. I'm building this. Hey, Noah, you're an idiot. I know. I know. Thank you very much. You're stupid, Noah. I know. I know. You're going to be stupid when you're outside and I'm inside. Hallelujah. Just kept working and kept waiting, kept praying, kept preaching. And God closed the door. You know, we didn't even talk about the animals. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit next week. It gets crazy with a bunch of monkeys in the house. His message was not received. So would you stand with me today and let's try to close this thing out. So much to say in building the ark in a dark world, our first message here. But the point is, Noah was faithful to his calling. And it takes faith and it takes works. And it takes grace to do God's will. Two paddles, not one. So stay in the story all the way. Faith is the paddle that helps you, and so is works. It takes both to move you into the journey. With the story, if Noah didn't construct the ark, none of us would be saved. Nothing. Would you lift your hand in the air?